I don't take a moment and write these things down, they're gone. Good morning. I do want to welcome all of you here. It's great to have some visitors with us this morning as well from the fire department, the Fireettes. The reason behind this is that this is volunteer week. And we felt as a church it would be a great thing if we could come together and have that common focus of the importance of being concerned for others. And so we're delighted to have you folks here. And hope you feel welcome here. As we progress through the service this morning, of course, you'll note that that will be our focus. I was coming down off the mountain, coming back from Torbrook Church this morning, and I looked and I could see the hillside and I saw that white and I thought to myself, yuck. And I had some folks in Torbrook who said to me, of course, isn't it beautiful out there? Yes, and some people think that. These folks were snowmobilers, so... But it is gorgeous, I realize that, and I know what's going to happen once the snow is gone. All the grass is going to get real green, and then we're going to get the lawnmowers out, and we know how that goes. So, just two announcements that I want to highlight this morning. One has to do with something that's happening on Saturday, April the 23rd, and it's happening here from 9 o'clock in the morning till 12 at noon, and we've done this before. But our church family is having a rummage sale. We're going to accept clothing, and it's very clearly specified that it needs to be clean and in good repair, and we're going to offer that free to anybody who might be able to take advantage of that. And I know that there was a good response the last time that we did this, and so that's why we thought we would do it again. As well, there's going to be complimentary muffins and coffee available, and everyone is welcome, and the items can be left in the closet across from the kitchen, so just in there. The second thing I want to make note of, and only because this only happens, less frequently than some of the other regular things that happen, and that is the card making. I just happened to take note of that. So Friday, May the 13th, Gail, I was looking at, and the card girls are going to meet at the CFC, bring along tape, scissors, cardstock, and a bag lunch. So that's from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock. I think the rest of the announcements are fairly regular. I'm going to mention a couple of names to you as well, and I just wrote down before I do forget. I was reminded this morning, Sue Fitzgerald. How many of you folks have heard me mention her name? Yes. Did you want to say something? Oh, okay. You were just saying yes, right. I know that Sue has been struggling. She's had a very sudden change in her health. It's quite serious, and she's been going down, down, down from what I can gather. So please continue to keep Sue in your prayers. As well, and I mentioned this in Torbrook this morning, Dot Lutz. Many of you folks would know Dot. Used to work at the hospital, but the last time she was out to church service, and she was really pretty much dragging herself, would have been the Easter service here just a couple of weeks ago, but she's not been doing very well either. So keep Dot in your prayers, and I know there are many others, and I certainly can't mention everyone up here, but those of you who are aware of others, keep them in your prayers also. I think that's all I need to say at the moment, so I will step aside and let the praise group do its stuff.
Good morning. Come behold the wondrous mystery. Street in the One day our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to return, and what a glorious day that it's going to be.
Took the nails from me, worthy. Of snow, and at 9:30 it was I told my cousin they could keep it. Call to worship this morning is from 1 John chapter 3 verses 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Our first hymn today is Holy, Holy, Holy. You'll see the words on the screen.
Holy, holy, holy.
Please be seated. Let's join together in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for your awesome ways. You are creator, grace, love, and you guide us when we come to you. Thank you for this opportunity to search your word and the nourishment it gives us to do your will. You call us to come as we are, Father, so we give this time to offer praise in your name. Of our Savior we pray, amen. On the back of the bulletin is a responsive reading. Selflessness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Let's pray. Father, it's not frequency that throughout our normal week we have a chance to just pull aside and be quiet. And we therefore know that these are precious moments, they are special moments. And we thank you that we can gather here in these moments collectively together, and that we can set aside the busyness that's usually in our minds. Lord, we can stop worrying about what has happened in the past week for the moment. We cannot anticipate things that are going to unfold in the week ahead. Let us just be still here in this moment and know that you are God. Let us find that quiet place inwardly, Lord, where we can really hear what you have to say to us. Not necessarily audibly, but Father, we know that you do speak to us in your own precious way. We are grateful for the focus of this week. It's been Volunteer Week. We want to thank you, Lord, that you call us frequently to the realization that we are indeed our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. We are a people who are called to care for one another, to provide for one another based on the resources, of course, that you have blessed us with. And so I thank you that this morning in particular, we have those with us who are certainly recognized within our community as being volunteers who have helped many and will continue to do so. Lord, we praise their attempts, their efforts, their giving of themselves. And we simply ask that you would bless them and be with them and be with us all as we seek in these moments of togetherness to worship you, to find ways and expressions which somehow can convey that deep thought that we have inside of ourselves of the blessed people we truly are. Just to be able to put one's foot on the floor in the morning, to be able to be up and about and do the things that we so enjoy, is something I know that we take for granted, but something that not everyone experiences. And Father, I'm well aware of even of many people in this moment who would love to have the opportunity and the ability to be able to be out and about and doing some of those things. So we thank you for that expression of your grace that we experience on a regular basis. We thank you for life itself and for the gift it is and for the enjoyment that it affords, for the opportunity it presents us to share the moments that you bless us with others and thereby enriching one another's experience of life. We also want to acknowledge this morning that life, as we're well aware of, is temporary, at least that expression of it that we experience in this world. But Lord, we come to you as a people this morning, mindful and faithful and firmly committed in the truth that this is not all that life contains. But there is more, even the greater part, that you have prepared for those who will trust in you and seek to serve you. And so we pray that you would remind us of that this day, that you would call us to be a people who are not dismayed by what happens in life, for there are many horrific things that take place, and there are many good things that take place. We thank you for your people. We thank you for the way you touch lives and change people and reorient them. We thank you, Lord, for the hope and the promise that is found in your word that gives purpose and meaning to each day. That when we walk through life, and sometimes when those terrible things happen, Lord, and I know that they are terrible, and I'm not trying to minimize that, but at the same time, if our view is that bigger view of life that takes us to the beyond, then we know it helps us to understand that there is a purpose that is beyond our grasp, that only you are fully aware of and will someday reveal. So we're grateful to be here, and we're thankful for this opportunity of collectiveness. We thank you for our community. We thank you for the way that you touch people's lives and call them into the ministry of volunteering. Pray this morning, too, particularly for the couple of folks that we have mentioned who are struggling in these moments. I think of Sue, and I think of Dot. And Lord, I know that in some ways their circumstance is similar. In other ways, it certainly reflects the uniqueness of each human being. But I pray for them. I pray for their health. And I know that it's not always that you cause your healing to come about, Lord, but for sure you will sustain us through whatever challenge we have in life. So bless us with that thought this morning. Guide us through your word as we seek to understand the importance of being focused on others. And I know and I acknowledge in advance, as I know everyone here in this room could, that there are many times when we are failures in this regard. But I pray that you would continue to call us toward that high calling of serving others. For that, we surrender ourselves to you with thankfulness in our hearts in these moments, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to call upon Lana. Some of you may not recognize this instrument. Thank you. Nice. Thank you very much, Lana. And Sharon, I thought I heard you playing in there some too. Really appreciate it. We call upon the ushers at this time to come and receive our offering. Stand with me. You could follow the doxology along here. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Alleluia. Alleluia. Praise Him above the heavenly Father, we pause to reflect inwardly for these moments as we think of all that you have given us and blessed us and graced us with. And so we take this chance to return to you in your service, but a portion of that which has been our blessing. We pray that you would receive it, that you would multiply it and use it exclusively for the advancement of your word, for the growth of your kingdom. Lord, I pray also that your grace and love would be poured out upon all who are gathered here in these moments. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture reading for you at this time from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 31 to 40, which is kind of half the story, but I'm going to trust you to read the other half. But I want to say something as I read this. This is actually is a story that Jesus is telling. And I can tell you that a good many pastors have been humbled by a truth that I want to share with you at this time. You know, we can dig deep and we can spend all of our time. We could take the whole week if we want and do all kinds of research and get, you know, use nice big Greek words and big long English words and make profound thoughts and, you know, and then you're called somewhere else, or you retire, and you hear 5 years later, and someone says, do you remember Pastor so-and-so? Yes. Do you remember what he preached about? Yes, I remember a story he told one time. Because that's usually what sticks in people's minds. And I know I have told you folks before of that very truth that was told to me when I had first come here, when Wayne Phoebens was pastor many years ago, you know, and or any pastors who were here before, and it's going to be the same when I'm going. I'm sure that people are going to say, you remember those profound mysteries that that person revealed? And they'll say, no, but I remember a story that he told. And that's just true to life. Stories are things that we hang teachings on. And that's what we have here this morning. It's a story, and there's a teaching in it. And the lesson of this story goes to the title of the message, which is simply, Others. These are the words. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all of the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. And then he gives some reasons for these people being considered blessed. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. Very important connection being made there. Let me tell you a real story. And you guys, everybody else knows this. I just want to tell you guys, just so you know the kind of people sometimes are kind of visitors that we have. Easter morning, bright and early. I know, some of you may have heard this is true. Easter morning, bright and early, I was here because we usually have a sunrise service. This year it was to start at 7 o'clock, so I was out in my study. I usually like to kind of go over my notes ahead of time. I was there about 6 o'clock, and Darlene came in the back door out here about 6:15, and she was a little excited. And she said, Bill. And I said, what's the matter, Darlene? She said, there's a pig in the parking lot. I said, no. And I went out the back door, and there was a pig walking around in the parking lot. I'm not kidding you. It actually happened. So that's a memory we have here in Nicktaw. And I just thought that you might be interested in that neat little story. So I want to look for a moment at the whole idea of others. And, you know, oftentimes, as I sort of just indicated, stories are helpful to sort of hang lessons on. So can illustrations be, and so can analogies. And so that's what I'm going to resort to for the next few moments this morning. I want to begin these thoughts, therefore, by having us think of life as a highway. Yes, I'm familiar with that song. But I do. I want us to think about life as a highway, because it is a journey. It is a road that we are all on. Life, indeed, is a highway. And we are traveling the highway of life, and our current plot, if you like, on that highway is determined by our moment in history. Why are we here in Nicktaw at this moment? I don't know. It's been a chosen moment for us. It is our journey in time. And it's something that we have had no choice over. We're just here. We're in this part of the world at this time doing whatever it is that we might be doing. So life is a highway. But I also think, in addition to those things about life that we have no choice over, that there are a number of things that we do have choices within. Our moments are governed by choices. They are determined oftentimes by our decisions. We have sayings, in fact, which use whole highway-related idea that might be helpful for our thoughts for these few brief moments this morning. Keep between the ditches. You know, stay between the poles. A couple of expressions that come to my mind. And these are concepts that identify, I think, the outside boundaries within which we travel that make life the smoothest, the safest, and the most effective. And so I want to identify those outside boundaries with a couple of phrases this morning. And I'm using this for the purpose of making this into somewhat of a story so that perhaps we will remember the lessons that are contained therein. You have probably heard the saying, this is the first of the two sayings I want to look at. Sometimes you can be so earthly bound that you render yourself no heavenly good. And what is generally meant by that phrase is that we often treat life as if this were the only reality, this experience we have right now, as if it were all that exists. It is confined to the world that we presently live in. When that is over, it's done, And that's the end of the story. We leave no room for the thought that life might actually be bigger than our earthly experience and even beyond our capacity to grasp with our minds in this moment. That means, if that is the case, that all of our thoughts, all of our plans, and all of our efforts become filtered through a view of life, a particular view of life, which submits to the worldview that excludes the possibility that there is more to reality than what we currently experience in the here and now. And so, to stay in line with the illustration we are using, if that is our view, then we walk on that side of the road. And therefore, if so, my efforts will all be influenced by my position that this is all that counts in life. This is the highway of life. But then there's a second phrase that takes us to the other side of the road, if you like, the other pole, the other ditch, however you want to think of it. And the phrase is this that takes us there. You can be so heavenly bound that you render yourself no earthly good. And what we generally mean by this phrase is that we treat the life to come as if it were the only reality. And in this case, it's not that we deny the reality of the present life. That would be rather an insane thing to do. But nonetheless, we can become so consumed by our focus on the life to come that we ignore or consider this present life of little or less value and react accordingly. And when we do that, all of our thoughts, all of our plans, and all of our efforts get filtered through a view of life which submits to a worldview which excludes the importance of this life. And that becomes the side of the road that we walk on. That becomes our highway of life. It's this second part that I actually want to focus on for just a few moments this morning. I want us to take a look at this because I think it's particularly a danger within the church. This is actually the side of the road that we're going to give our deepest thought to. Our text, I believe, pulls us toward considering the implications of walking on that side of the road only. And where this thought comes through in our text, I would suggest, is the latter part of verse 37 and on into verse 40. Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? When? When do we do those things? When do we serve God, if you like, becomes the question. Because that's what really is being drawn out here by this illustration that Jesus uses. I mean, the king in the story has already commended these people for what they had done, and now they have absolutely no idea when they ever did those things. I wonder what was going through their minds. Interesting, isn't it? What mistake have they made here? What point did they miss? I believe they missed the point of the connection between these two sides of the road on the highway of life. The fact of the matter was, when they crossed from their side of the road on the highway of life to the other side of the road on the highway of life, they met a need. And in meeting that need, they in effect were serving God. I'm not sure we always draw that out of the text, but I certainly think it's the major point being made. Verse 40, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. No distinction being drawn. So when you serve others, you are serving God. You are doing what God has called you to do. You see, sometimes in the church, we can become so consumed with the formalities of what our traditions have shaped us into that we lose sight of what really counts the most, reaching out and helping. You familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan? It's a rather interesting story. You familiar with the characters in that story and why those specific characters are used the way they are used? Let me remind us to see if we understand the underlying point that Jesus is actually making there. The person hurt when attacked by the bandits was a Jewish man. Now, if you want to take it back to the context of the time when this story was first told, you would need to realize that Jewish people were God's chosen people. That's the man who was in trouble at this time. The first person to pass by this man in need was a priest, a man chosen by God, a man dedicated to the service of God. He didn't stop. He kept right on going. The second passerby was fulfilling a function referred to as a temple assistant. Likewise, another person with a special position of dedicated service to God. And what did these two godly people do? They passed by on the other side. And then along comes the third person, of course, in the story. And this person, as identified in the translation that I have here, is called a despised Samaritan. And indeed, Samaritans were a despised people. You think prejudice is something that only exists in our day and age? Not by a long shot. These were a people who were not pure Jews. They intermarried with others. They were considered to be of lesser value. Not considered particularly by the godly, if you like, to be on the same par as they were in terms of their relationship with God and their value from God. And so we have this despised Samaritan. These people who were considered by the religious people of the day as second-class citizens, definitely not thought of as being of much value in God's eyes. But it appears that God thought otherwise, according at least to the ending of the story. What was the greatest distinction between those who passed by and the one who stopped to help? Was it because one was religious, so-called, and one was not? That's not the distinction that is drawn. It was the concern and the action that took place, designed and intended to help others. And that, I would suggest, is quite consistent with what Jesus highlights in our text. Whatever you have done for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done for me. And I think that's a very appropriate thought, given that this is Volunteer Week. It's a good thing to think about. Is it possible that we could be considered like the priest? Is it possible that we could be considered like the temple assistant? Might our Christian convictions lead us to look more inward at ourselves and less outward at others? Listen to what James says in this regard. I'm going to take you to James chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Very interesting how this particular teaching unfolds. You know, many people, I'm a religious person, I have faith, I'm strong, I'm deep, I'm one of God's. Here's what James says. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Then he goes further. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? James says. Let me take us to another text where Jesus was asked a very important question. Of all the commandments, which one's the greatest? Many of you are familiar with this, I know that. But what I want to remind us of before I proceed through this is the wording of the question. The question that Jesus is specifically asked here is, Jesus, you know as I do, there are all kinds of commandments out there, rules and regulations that help guide us to live in a right way. And Jesus is being asked to pick out one of them. Just one. Note that. It's just one that he's being asked for. Which one is the greatest? And what was his response? His response was this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I want to stop there just for a second. Because you'd think that that would have been the end of Jesus' response. He was only asked for one commandment. Which one is the greatest? But he added to it. He would not leave it there. Note the wording of how the rest of the text unfolds. He says, a second is equally important, just as important as the first one. So he would not leave it at picking out one singular command. He put two together and actually qualified them as being equal in value. And here is the second one. He says, and I quote again, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Others. We are so inclined as human beings to think of ourselves first and primarily. God does not seek, nor does he desire, for people to be focused primarily inward. And so the Apostle Paul even goes so far as to say, and I believe this came out in our responsive reading this morning, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And I know I've commented on this different times over the years when we have gone to this text. I really don't think what's being said is that others are better than us. I think what's being addressed is our natural inclination to think of ourselves as being better. And therefore, we go overboard to make the balance work out. Consider others as better than yourselves. Elsewhere in the book of Romans, just to add some more weight to this, the Apostle Paul writes this in the second part of verse 3 of chapter 12. Don't think you are better than you really are. The importance of others is not hinted at in a couple of places in Scripture. It is actually woven throughout the whole fabric of it. And so when Jesus said, whatever you have done for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done for me, he literally means it. He really means it. How do we then serve God? We serve God by serving others. That's one side of the road on the highway of life, but it is an extremely important one. And dare I say, not one that gets fulfilled by one week focus, as important as that is, but rather it is meant to be a day-to-day lifestyle, indeed a way of living. Only one word, that's why I titled it this morning as I did, only one word is required to adjust our focus accordingly. And that one word is the word others. I'm going to sing about that now. I'm going to watch on the screen. Some of us may turn in our hymn books. We're going to sing about it in a song simply titled The Servant's Song. I ask you to stand, if you would, please. very brief benediction, remind folks that the refreshments are being provided, just going out into the door, right out there into the parlor. Let's close in prayer. And now, our Father, we thank you for this reminder this morning of the importance of our togetherness, and in particular, of our reflection on others. Forgive us when we fall short, as we often do. Forgive us, Lord, when the thoughts in our hearts and in our minds are counter to what you would have us to have. But let us be a people who increasingly come to realize that you yourself came not to serve yourself, but to serve others, and you've made that abundantly clear. I thank you again, Lord, for those who have gathered with us this morning, who are a member of the serving part of our community, our firefighters, our fire ants. May you continue to bless them as they serve you in this capacity, and be with us all now. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to the one who was able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, both now and forevermore. Father, we pray also that you would bless the time that we're about to share and the refreshments that have been provided. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name.